Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're in the book of Genesis. And tonight we're doing chapter 27. Let's all go up to the throne to ask the Lord to bless chapter 27, to anoint what we do here, and to anoint the words of the Lord, to give us all the power to stand another day, because we're instructed to live one day at a time. Don't think of the future, just think of one day. Sufficient is the evil of this day. Father, bless the message from this chapter that you want to give us the strength for in our spirits. Pour out your spirit, open our minds, the minds of our spirit, and open our hearts, our ears, so that these words sink down deep. For they are the words of life. Life eternal, and even life more abundantly here on this earth. A life without sickness, disease, infirmities, and all the fatness or richness of this life, and life eternal. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go.
Chapter 27, King James Version, verse 1. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. Commentary. Jacob steals Esau's blessing. Verse 1. When Isaac was old and almost blind, he called for Esau, his older son, and said, quote, My son? Quote, Yes, father, Esau replied. King James Version, verse 2. And he said, Behold now, I am old. I know not the day of my death.
Keep going.
Now, okay. Now therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Commentary, verse 2 through 4. Quote, I am an old man now, Isaac said, and I expect each day to be my last. Take your bow and quiver full of arrows out into the open country, and hunt some wild game for me. Prepare it just the way I like it, so it's savory and good, and bring it here for me to eat. Then I will pronounce the blessing that belongs to you, my firstborn son, before I die.
So Isaac was totally, it seems, seemingly unaware of that Esau had sold his birthright to Jacob. Otherwise he wouldn't be telling him, I'm going to bless you. Alright, then what? Or that it belongs to you. Okay, what else?
King James Version, verse 5. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. Commentary, verse 5. But Rebekah overheard the conversation. So when Esau left to hunt for the wild game, verse 6, she said to her son Jacob, quote, I overheard your father asking Esau to prepare him a delicious meal of wild game. He wants to bless Esau in the Lord's presence before he dies. Verse 6 through 8, King James Version. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Commentary, verse 8. Now, my son, do exactly as I tell you. King James Version, verse 9. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. Commentary, verse 9 and 10. Go out to the flocks and bring me two fine young goats. I'll prepare your father's favorite dish from them. Take the food to your father, then he can eat it and bless you instead of Esau before he dies. King James Version, verse 11. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice, and go fetch me them. Commentary, verse 11 through 13. Quote, But mother, exclamation mark, Jacob replied, quote, He won't be fooled that easily. Think how hairy Esau is and how smooth my skin is, exclamation mark. What if my father touches me? He'll see that I'm trying to trick him, and then he'll curse me instead of bless me. Quote, Let the curse fall on me, dear son, said Rebekah. Just do what I tell you. Go out and get the goats. King James Version, verse 14. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands, and upon the smooth of his neck. Commentary, verse 14 through 16. So Jacob followed his mother's instructions, bringing her the two goats. She took them and cooked a delicious meat dish, just the way Isaac liked it. Then she took Esau's best clothes, which were there in the house, and dressed Jacob with them. She made him a pair of gloves from the hairy skin of the young goats, and she fastened a strip of the goat's skin around his neck. King James Version, verse 17. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. Commentary, verse 17 through 19. Then she gave him the meat dish with its rich aroma and some freshly baked bread. Jacob carried the platter of food to his father and said, quote, My father? Quote, Yes, my son, he answered. Quote, Who is it, Esau or Jacob? Jacob replied, quote, It's Esau, your older son. I've done as you've told me. Here is the wild game, cooked the way you like it. Sit up and eat it, so you can give me your blessing. King James Version, verse 20. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Commentary, verse 20 through 22. Isaac asked, quote, How are you able to find it so quickly, my son? Quote, Because the Lord your God put it in my path, Jacob replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, Come over here. I want to touch you to make sure you really are Esau. So Jacob went over to his father, and Isaac touched him. Quote, The voice is Jacob's, but the hands are Esau's, Isaac said to himself. King James Version, verse 23. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Commentary, verse 23 through 27. But he did not recognize Jacob, because Jacob's hands felt hairy, just like Esau's. So Isaac pronounced his blessing on Jacob. Quote, Are you really my son Esau? He asked. Quote, Yes, of course, Jacob replied. Then Isaac said, Quote, Now, my son, bring me the meat. I will eat it, and then I will give you my blessing. So Jacob took the food over to his father, and Isaac ate it. He also drank the wine that Jacob served him. Then Isaac said, quote, Come here and kiss me, my son. So Jacob went over and kissed him. And when Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he was finally convinced, and he blessed his son. He said, quote, The smell of my son is the good smell of the open fields that the Lord has blessed. King James Version, verse 28. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Commentary, verse 28 through 29. May God always give you plenty of dew for healthy crops and good harvests of grain and wine. May many nations become your servants. May you be the master of your brothers. May all your mother's sons bow down before you. All who curse you are cursed, and all who bless you are blessed. King James Version, verse 30. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. Commentary, verse 30 through 31. As soon as Isaac had blessed Jacob, and almost before Jacob left his father, Esau returned from his hunting trip. Esau prepared his father's favorite meat dish and brought it to him. Then he said, quote, I'm back, father, and I have the wild game. Sit up and eat it, so you can give me your blessing. King James Version, verse 32. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn, Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me, and I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed. Commentary, verse 32 through 33. But Isaac asked him, Who are you? Quote, Why, it's me, of course, exclamation mark, he replied. Quote, It's Esau, your older son. Isaac began to tremble uncontrollably and said, Quote, Then who was it that just served me wild game? I have already eaten it, and I blessed him with an irrevocable blessing before you came. King James Version, verse 34. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? Commentary, verse 34 through 37. When Esau understood, he let out a loud and bitter cry, quote, O my father, bless me too, exclamation mark, he begged.
That's what people are going to do at the judgment bar of God. They'll say, bless me too, but people sold their birthright by sinning. They cannot enter in. They just can't. Its requirement is to be sinless, completely sinless, in order to enter heaven. Well, please, you know, let me in. Give me a blessing. The only blessing is that you get to enter heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Forevermore. Okay, then what?
But Isaac said, quote, Your brother was here, and he tricked me. He has carried away your blessing. Esau said bitterly, quote, No wonder his name is Jacob, for he has deceived me twice. First, taking my birthright, and now stealing my blessing. Oh, haven't you saved even one blessing for me? Isaac said to Esau, quote, I have made Jacob your master, and have declared that all his brothers will be his servants. I have guaranteed him an abundance of grain and wine. What is there left to give?
The word Jacob means deceiver. What it means. Then what else?
King James Version, verse 38. And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept.
So he attempted to keep going.
Okay. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. Commentary, verse 38 through 40. Esau pleaded, quote, Not one blessing left for me, O my father. Bless me too, exclamation mark. Then Esau broke down and wept. His father, Isaac, said to him,
With
quote,
weeping, he tried to get his blessing back, but it was too late. He sold it already. Then what?
His father, Isaac, said to him, quote, You will live off the land and what it yields, and you will live by your sword. You will serve your brother for a time, but then you will shake loose from him and be free. King James Version, verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. Commentary. Jacob flees to Padan Aram. Verse 41. Esau hated Jacob because he had stolen his blessing. And he said to himself, quote, My father will soon be dead and gone. Then I will kill Jacob. King James Version, verse 42. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days, until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? Commentary, verse 42 through 45. But someone got wind of what Esau was planning, and reported it to Rebekah. She sent for Jacob and told him, quote, Esau is threatening to kill you. This is what you should do. Flee to your uncle Laban in Haran. Stay there with him until your brother's fury is spent. When he forgets what you have done, I will send for you. Why should I lose both of you in one day? King James Version, verse 46. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me?
Okay, she just didn't want him to marry one of the black girls there. She just wanted, they said that was her reason that she gave to Isaac for him taking off, leaving so suddenly. Okay, go ahead.
Commentary, verse 46. Then Rebekah said to Isaac, quote, I'm sick and tired of these Hittite women. I'd rather die than see Jacob marry one of them.
Okay, now that was the last verse in chapter 27, so we're going into some commentary now.
Chapter 27, verses 1 through 4. Isaac is apparently not aware that Esau sold his birthright. He requests the meal to strengthen his weakened or waning vitality.
Yeah, if he's going to give a blessing, you've got to have enough strength to sit up and give the blessing. Amen?
Amen.
So give me something that I like, okay? And what else? There's no longer any benefit to go on a health diet because he knows that he's going to die. Amen? So just eat and whatever he wants. And what else? Forget the sunflower seeds. All right, what else?
Okay. Chapter 27, verse 4. Savory meat was wild game, venison that Isaac loved. To bless meant to transfer to the oldest son the family's material property, aspirations, and spiritual promises. Modeled after God's interaction with his people, the particular concept of the blessing later becomes foundational, or the foundation of the transmission of emotional vitality from generation to generation.
So it was made a law, the foundational law, that the eldest son should receive the blessing, the double portion, all right? Then what?
As such, God formalized its major principles in the famous Aaronic blessing, number 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Right, and you hear the unsaved people quoting that famous scripture on themselves, and the dastardly ones that they are blessing, they have no right to bless anyone because they themselves are not blessed. Amen?
Amen.
And they're blessing a bunch of people that are not really blessed. They're just saying words to impress one another for political reasons, not for anything that they're going to receive. It's just words, because the words have no meaning to them today, as they did the people in ancient times, where words or proclamation of words meant a great deal. That's why Esau was fighting so hard to be blessed, because he knew this was his father's final blessings, and that when he said it, it was going to come to pass, because he knew that his father was spiritual, and that The words he said meant a great deal. Then what else?
Rebecca wanted to ensure that her favorite son received Isaac's blessing. God's will was already going to bless Jacob.
Right, because it had already been said that the elder shall serve the younger. Amen? So there was no need for him to contrive all the different things, or to sell the pottage, or for her to do such a grandiose deception, or have him do it. It was not necessary. They should have just had faith in the word of God. Amen? That had told them beforehand that the blessing was going to Jacob. Then what?
God's will was already going to bless Jacob, so God's will continued even after the brazen deception.
Right. Even though he did what most people consider a very scummy thing, he had a zeal for blessings of the Lord. And the other one didn't care at all at one time, and then when he wanted monetary favor and political favor and spiritual benefits, then he started crying and weeping bitterly. But he hadn't deserved them, amen? He already squandered them away. Then what else?
God's will was accomplished.
He got blessed. Then what else?
Jacob was in the chosen lineage. See Malachi 1, 2 through 3, and Romans 9, 6 through 13. Malachi 1, 2 through 3. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob.
Yeah, I loved the Jews, not Esau the Gentile. That's a blessing itself. So you people say, how have you blessed? Isn't it a blessing to be in the lineage of the Lord?
Yes.
Okay, part of the holy people that are going to enter the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
If that's not a blessing, then you are as bad as Esau is for not thinking or weighing out that blessing of being able to spend eternity in the kingdom of heaven, enjoying everything that Christ owns as your own, or sharing all the glory and the and all the blessings of the kingdom of heaven forever. That doesn't mean anything to you. Then you're just as Esau was. He didn't think that there was any big deal about being blessed. Blessing meant nothing to him. So I'll just sell it. That's what it says to do. Give me a bowl of stew. Lentils. Red stuff. Okay? So if you really believe that being of the chosen few in this world, that that's really a blessing, then you're going to do what the Lord says. You're going to treasure. Your treasure is going to be in the kingdom of heaven. You're going to treasure everything, every word of the Lord, because it's the very word that's going to get you into the kingdom of heaven. Faith is the key into the kingdom of heaven. They say that Peter was given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Everybody that has faith is given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. St. Peter is not the one that's going to meet you at the pearly gates. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that's going to be there that can tell you to know, depart from me, or enter in, my good and faithful servants. Okay, then what else?
Malachi chapter 1, verse 3 continued, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Romans 9, 6 through 13.
And he hates anybody that is like Esau, that doesn't think that the blessings are of any value, that thinks that sleep is more important than hearing the word of God. Okay, or sleep is more important than the doing the things of God. All right, then what?
Romans 9, 6 through 13.
Not think that anything in this world is more important than serving the Lord. Like some people, they just want to go and get married and have sex. They don't care if it's somebody that's unsaved. It doesn't mean anything to him one way or the other, even though the Lord said for you not to be unevenly yoked with the unbelievers. They just, these wanton females today, are wretches. They just want to have sex. Okay, then what? They don't care at all about the Spirit of the Lord. And to hell with them, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
Then what else?
Romans 9, 6 through 13. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel.
No, here it's Esau and Jacob came out of the same womb, and they're supposed to be Israel, right?
Right.
But they're not. One is, and the other is of the devil. Okay, then what?
Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger.
Right. Esau will serve Jacob. That was right there before they were even born. Then what?
As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated.
Right, because one is a Jew and the other one is a Gentile. One cares about the promises, the other one doesn't care at all. And I know a lot of Gentile preachers think that Jacob was very evil for doing whatever he could to get the blessing. But in the eyes of God, God thought that was tremendous. He got the blessing. Amen?
Amen.
He is later called Israel, and the tribes of Israel came out of him. Okay, then what?
Chapter 27, verse 15. The availability of the choice of clothes indicate that Esau and his wives lived under the same roof with Isaac and Rebekah.
Yeah, they lived with their mom and dad. Esau's wives, they're under the same roof because they were able to go, she was able to go get his clothing. Amen. To put it on Jacob. Alright, that's a good point. Amen. Then what?
Reference to the house indicated that Isaac and his people have abandoned the risk of living in tents in the open spaces for the safety of the walled town of Beersheba.
Right, it talks of them being in the house, not a tent. And what else?
Chapter 27, verses 16 through 27. The tension built dramatically for Jacob. He uses God to further his ambition to be blessed. Verse 20. He took advantage of Isaac's blindness. Chapter 27, verse 26. Isaac is still suspicious. This close proximity will enable Isaac to use his sense of smell. Verse 27. Chapter 27, verses 27 through 29. The blessing contains three important elements: material, prosperity.
Oh, yeah, one of the blessings was that he would have great crops. Amen?
Amen.
Then the other one is political?
Yes.
Right? That he would be over everybody. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
And a cursing of all enemies. Verse 21.
Anyone that cursed him is cursed. And that's the way it is with every true, powerful Christian, or real Christian, is that anyone that tries to curse us is cursed. And you'll see their brains deteriorating. You'll see their dying, dropping dead. I could sit here for about an hour talking, or a couple, several hours, telling you about the different people that dropped dead when they were cursing us, Sue and myself, and this work. Okay?
Yeah.
So you're not dealing with just ordinary people like yourselves, or the people of the world are not dealing with just anybody that are like themselves. They just think everybody's the same. That's what democracy is all about. But God is not a democracy. He's a theocracy. Amen?
Amen.
Theo. That means Godocracy. He chooses who he will. And it doesn't make any difference whether you like it or not. That's the way it is. Kiddo. All right, then what?
Material prosperity was verse 28. Political supremacy, verse 25. And a cursing of all enemies, verse 29.
You know, don't ever want to come against the person of the Lord, because they never act like they're much. They act like old shoes. But try to curse them and see what happens to you. God won't even let them talk to you. And that's nothing in comparison to what He's doing to you mentally and physically and your family. And whatever other way He wants to do the cursing. But you're cursed. If you, even in your mind, are cursing somebody. Because He reads your mind just like He's reading a book through cellophane. He knows what's in your heart. All of our hearts. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm telling you what the Bible says. Alright, then what?
Chapter 27, verse 28. Fatness. Which means riches.
Yeah, so He'll give you the fat of the land. That means, or He'll give you the fat, make you fat. That means rich. Doesn't mean like you'll be a fat slob. It just means rich. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
27.
And if you ain't rich, then you ain't blessed. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
27, verse 33. Though Isaac is very angry, he knows he is fighting God's providence, God's will.
Isaac was so shook up that he was trembling greatly. Amen?
Amen.
Uncontrollably. Trembling uncontrollably. And I just laugh at that because that makes me feel good, you know, that this old geezer was trying to bless somebody that is cursed by God. He should be shaken. Amen?
Amen.
Trembling without any ability to control it. Okay, then go ahead.
Though Isaac is very angry, he knows he is fighting God's providence, so, God's will. Indeed, he, Jacob, shall be blessed.
Right, so he finally wised up. I'm trying to do something here that I wasn't supposed to, and now he woke up to the fact, yeah, truly, Jacob shall be the one that's blessed. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Chapter 27, verses 34 through 35. Isaac and Esau both recognized immediately what Jacob had done. The words of blessing had already been given. They could not be retracted or given again to another. The people of the Old Testament knew better than we.
Well, yes. The people of the Old Testament, the ancient people, knew better than the modern people today about what?
Than we who are latecomers about the power of the spoken word. A blessing, a curse, a creative
word. Like if I bless you or if I curse you, those words mean something. If I put a curse or a person of God puts a curse on you, you are cursed. And if a person of the Lord puts a blessing on you, you are blessed. Okay, that's the power of the spoken word. And the people of ancient days, if you want to call it ancient, to me it just seems like a few seconds back in time. But these modern people today don't realize, they just say anything. They lie, they say anything. But a blessing, a cursing, then what?
A creative word.
A creative word or a destructive word. There's so many people that I hear that are so negative that everything they say is negative. And the Lord honors your words. If you want to be a negative person, then God makes you negative and will not make it possible for you to have anything in your life. But if you're a positive person, then you'll speak positive words according to the Word of God to make them come to pass, because you can speak things to pass. I have talked and talked and talked about having different things in this church. And finally, when the Lord gave me the wherewithal to get it done, it's done now. You can see it with your eyes, can't you?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so that's positive thinking. I placed my thoughts, I assembled my thoughts together, and then I put my thoughts into action when it was the right time. And the Lord said, do it, and don't even let anybody in this church even touch the thing, because there's a lot of people in the church that claim to be workers, but they're sluggards. Okay, and that's the way it is in a lot of churches. They're sluggards. And then you take churches that are not really of the Lord, and you see those are the most ambitious people in the world. And boy, they just are out doing everything they can to get their ministry across. And that's a sad thing. In the real ministries, you have people like Judas Iscariot, 1 out of 12. Amen?
Amen.
Well, we've got actually millions of them. When you take all the different churches we have in Africa, India, I've been told that some of the churches we have in Africa have got over 250,000 people, 500,000 people. We've got millions of people, so you just figure 1 out of 12, that's a lot of devils that's against this. And also, I was told that the Vatican had Black Sabbaths for us, that they were praying that we would not make it, that we will fail. And Alberto told me, Alberto Rivera, who was a very good friend of mine, told me that if they're doing that, you better get your whole church praying against that, because their words, they put them into practice. And if no one is on your team that is combating all the satanic things that people, the devil, is doing against you, you're going to get wrecked. You're going to be destroyed. And I told all the people in the church that. And yet some of them, there was a whole bunch of them that didn't pray at all. And that's the way it is today. But there isn't anything that people can do. Like, people were going against Jacob, and he still got the blessing. Because if you're really a tenacious person, a person that never quits, it doesn't matter if all the people around you are slothful, sluggards, deadbeats, deadheads, you're still going to do it. Because it doesn't matter to me if you listen or don't listen to the words of the gospel, because God's going to bless me, okay, because I really believe him. And he's going to bless anybody else in this church that believes what they're hearing and doesn't just talk about the gospel, that keeps themselves busy in the gospel, in the spirit of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
A blessing, a curse, a creative word, a destructive word can all have great effects when spoken in faith.
Right. If I curse you in faith, I ask the Lord, should I ask you to curse these people? And he says, yes. You better watch out. Lord, I asked you to come against all, to curse all those, Lord, that are coming against us, that we prayed for and they never changed. Curse them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. All the people that want to go out into the world after they've heard all your word, curse them, Lord. Curse them so badly that they don't even make sense anymore, that they're insane. Because this is what the Lord has laid on my heart to pray. All right? And I believe when he tells me something. And so therefore I know it shall come to pass. Everyone thinks that they're an island, that they're some big deal. And yet they don't do a thing for the Lord. And they don't really even listen to his word or his words. They don't do anything for him and have no intention of ever doing anything for him. And they don't want to make they don't feel like they're at all responsible for doing anything for God or making things better on the properties or to get things done. You're of no value. You are not even supposed to eat, let alone. And Lord, they're cumbering the earth. These people are like the unfruitful tree, the fig tree. And so you just dry up their roots. Dry them up, Lord. And you actually have put the responsibility of getting them out of the church to me. You said, measure the people, and if they don't measure up, get them out. And sure, they're going to go and talk about us, you know, that we don't have any forgiveness. Oh, I forgive them, but they can't stay in the church because they're a destruction force in the church. They encourage people to leave. They come against the actual pastors or anyone that has any authority in the church, and they don't want to receive anything, and they argue as though they have some foundation or basis to argue from, and they have none whatsoever. And so, Lord, those, you know who they are, dry them up, Lord, as you did the fig tree. Put them away in Jesus' mighty name, I pray. And then go ahead. Amen. And what?
Hebrews 12:16-17 says the responsibility on Esau's weakness, Romans 25:29-34, and Romans 9:6-13 attributes it to God's providence.
Yeah, that gives God the reason for choosing Jacob. Amen?
Amen.
If you're weak, shame on you, because God commands you to be strong and very courageous. And if you decide to be weak and very Mickey Mouse, or very weak and frail and unproductive, then you're like the servant that buried a talent in the napkin, and God cursed him into hell. Okay, read it.
Hebrews 12:16-17. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears.
Oh, Father, is there not one blessing for me? Get out of here, stinking scumbag, scumbucket. Get out of here. It's what he was told by God. Amen?
Amen.
Then what else?
Genesis 25:29-34. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom.
Yeah, his name was called Red. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Then what?
And Jacob said, Sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, Swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright.
Yeah, totally, there's no effect on him whatsoever that he's going to hell. It didn't mean anything. Totally indifferent. Just like I've seen people in the church, they don't care if you throw them out. They want to figure some way to get thrown out. They don't want to leave on their own, because they think that's going to make a difference at the judgment bar of God. They want to be thrown out. So they want to do something, like even hurt somebody in the church, if they can, to cause them to be thrown out so they can go out and commit adultery and get involved in the different things of the world. Curse you. Curse you. May God curse you wonderfully in the name of Jesus. Then what?
And Romans 9:6-13, which we already read.
Yeah, so we've already read that, and they can look it up. Then what?
Okay. Then chapter 27:37. Your master. For much of their history, the descendants of Esau were subject to the descendants of Jacob. Finally, about 100 B.C.
So that shows that Jacob was the master. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Finally, about 100 B.C., the Edomites were conquered by the Jews and forcibly merged into Judaism. Obadiah 10:11. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them.
Right, that's why you don't ever hear of Edomites anymore. They're totally destroyed. They've been released, all right. They don't exist, because they, instead of helping his brother, they came in and... We did this in a message just a few days ago. That's all I have there.
No. Then chapter 27:39-40. Isaac gave Esau as much of a blessing as he could, without contradicting his previous blessing to Jacob. His descendants were to be cruel, untamed savages. You shall break. Yoke refers to brief victories, such as when the Edomites were a thorn to Solomon. 1 Kings 11:14-25. And the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was of the king's seed in Edom. For it came to pass, when David was in Edom, and Joab the captain of the host was gone up to bury the slain, after he had smitten every male in Edom, for 6 months did Joab remain there with all Israel, until he had cut off every male in Edom. That Hadad fled, he and certain Edomites and his father's servants with him, to go into Egypt, Hadad being yet a little child. And they arose out of Midian and came to Paran, and they took men with them out of Paran, and they came to Egypt unto Pharaoh king of Egypt, which gave him an house and appointed him victuals and gave him land. And Hadad found great favor in the sight of Pharaoh, so that he gave him to wife the sister of his own wife, the sister of Tapenes, the queen. And the sister of Tapenes bare him Genubath, his son, whom Tapenes weaned in Pharaoh's house. And Genubath was in Pharaoh's household among the sons of Pharaoh. And when Hadad heard in Egypt that David slept with his fathers, and that Joab the captain of the host was dead, Hadad said to Pharaoh, Let me depart, that I may go to mine own country. Then Pharaoh said unto him, But what hast thou lacked with me, that, behold, thou seekest to go to thine own country? And he answered, Nothing. Howbeit, let me go in any wise. And God stirred him up another adversary, Rezon the son of Eliada, which fled from his lord Hadadezer, king of Zobah. And he gathered men unto him, and became captain over a band, when David slew them of Zobah. And they went to Damascus, and dwelt therein, and reigned in Damascus. And he was an adversary to Israel all the days of Solomon, beside the mischief that Hadad did, and he abhorred Israel, and reigned over Syria. Chapter 27, verses 41 through 46. Esau's hatred is not valid in light of his own responsibility in the matter. Rebekah's quick grasp and ingenuity sends Jacob away with blessing. Chapter 28, 1 through 2. But at the cost of never seeing him again. 28, 1 through 2. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother.
Okay, this is Tony Alamo. That was chapter 27 of the book of Genesis. And Lord willing, I'll be doing chapter 28 tomorrow. Till then, keep looking up, and God bless you.